Hey, man, wonderful job. I appreciate the choir, Miss Jean, Miss Alicia, and Brother John, and appreciate you. Today may be a sermon that offends, but the Word of God does that sometimes. And so as it does, thank you, Miss Bradley and Miss Boyd, for being here today. I appreciate y'all coming. They've already heard it once. They were here at 9. Let's, if you're able, let's stand in honor of God's Word this morning. And as we work our way through the Gospel of Mark, we're in chapter 4, and this morning we want to look at verses 1 through 20. And the Lord has just made some profound statements to the Pharisees. He's made some profound statements to His followers. And now He, in verse 1 of chapter 4, again He began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to Him, so that He got into a boat and set in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then He taught them many things by parables and said to them in His teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And He said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when He was alone, those around Him with the 12 asked Him about the parable. And He said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Heavenly Father, we praise You today for Your Word. Lord, Your Word is the seed that reaches hearts of Yours. And Lord, we want to praise You for that today. Lord, today, as we preach and teach Your Word, Lord, my prayer is for the ones on the wayside, the ones on stony ground, the ones that the thorns have choked out, the seed. Lord, my prayer is today that today is the day of salvation, and that Your Holy Spirit convict their dead heart. Lord, that by Your grace we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, but it's a gift from You. And Lord, we praise You for that today. Lord, I pray for the lost. I pray for the ones that think they're saved and are not saved. Lord, I pray today that Your Word is made clear. That we preach in boldness. That we don't sugarcoat. But Lord, we preach the truths of your eternal doctrine. Lord, I thank you for these young men and young lady that came today to be baptized. Lord, I pray that our local church holds them accountable. I pray that you equip us to be the ones that you've called us to be for them and unto you. Lord, I thank you for the work that you're doing at New Hope Baptist Church. We're thankful that your word endureth forever, and we're thankful that your word never comes back void. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it cuts to the bone. And Lord, we together in this church today, we thank you for that. We need your conviction. Lord, we need your encouragement. Lord, we need your edification. But most importantly, we need to glorify you for who you are. Lord, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for allowing us to meet today. And may everything that's done here today not be glory to ourselves, but glory to you. For we ask this prayer in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. When we look at this today, when I was a young preacher, well, I still consider myself pretty young, but when I was younger, about 15 years ago, I preached this and did a horrible job. So I'm going to try to do justice and do a lot better this morning. You may disagree, but we'll see. But I preached that there were, in these soils, that there were three groups of these soils that were saved, but that's not true. I was young, naive, didn't study like I should have. And in what we'll find today, that there's only one group that he talks about today that's saved. And so as we study this, I want you to really pay attention and really think about you. I want you to think about you and your relationship with the Lord, because I think it's vitally important. I think it's eternally important. I think it's life and death before you walk out of these doors today. So let's think about this. He says in verse 1, again he began to teach by the sea. He's at Galilee, and he's at the sea, and we know that the sea is not like a sea, what we think it is. It's more like a lake. Okay, Jackie Ricks, many of you know Miss Jackie, and Brother Thomas come with us on Sunday nights. Brother Thomas pastors at Macedonia Baptist Church, but Miss Jackie wrote this lesson for the WMA as our Women's Missionary Auxiliary, and she shared it with me. I asked her to, and she said, well, you certainly don't need it, but she did such an incredible job writing this lesson, and I want to share some things with you today. First, let's check out the backdrop, the setting for this parable. Were Jesus and the people who are listening to him? Well, they agree that Jesus was by the shore of a body of water called a lake here, but it is likely the Sea of Galilee, which is the size of one of our medium lakes in Texas. It's 13 miles long and 6 miles wide. It has a depth of about 200 feet. Its acreage is 41,000 acres. That kind of relates to us. And we have many lakes with longer shorelines, but not necessarily more acres. The Sea of Galilee, according to acreage, is about the size of Lake Tawakoni. Many of you know where that is. However, the only lake we have with a depth to match that, which is 200 feet, is shared with Mexico, and that's the Amistad Reservoir. Galilee was well known for having an abundance of fish. To the north of the Sea of Galilee is the Jordan River, which flows into the lake. It also continues on south from there to the Dead Sea. And Miss Jackie gave their experiences when they went to Israel back in the 70s. But all around that area were agricultural fields that were open. Therefore, the people may have even watched a farmer as he planted his fields while Jesus talked. And so as he uses these parables, and we're going to talk about that here in just a second, he discusses this picture that comes into mind of the sower, the seed, the wayside, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, the good soil. And he gives this description of his audience that knows exactly what he's talking about. And so as he began to teach by the sea, a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and he set it on the sea, set in on it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. So can you picture this? I've never been there. I'd love to go, but I've never been there. But I can just imagine this natural setting. He didn't need a microphone. He didn't need speakers. He got up on this Sea of Galilee in a boat, and he had this great multitude on the shoreline, and around him are the mountains, around him are the fields, around him are the amazing geography of the Lord's land. And here it is. He's about to give one of the greatest preaching statements that he ever gives right here. And how's he do it? Not behind a pulpit. Not standing up. He sat down in a boat. Rabbis taught not by standing up at a lectern, but rabbis taught by sitting down. Now this is totally opposite from what we are taught in education today. 21 years in education, I was trained by Dr. Ross Sherman at University of Texas in Tyler, and he said a teacher should always be on their feet, not on their seat. So when I would go around and do walkthroughs, if a teacher was sitting at a desk, I would mark that down. Because a teacher should never be sitting at their desk. A teacher should always be up and engaging the classroom. But here we have the greatest teacher of all time, the greatest preacher of all time, and he sits in a boat. Can't you just picture this? Here's this multitude listening to him in this boat as he gives this incredible doctrinal statement that we stand by today that he shares with this great multitude. The only thing that I can even fathom, what I've seen personally, is when we walked into Ephesus in the amphitheater, and the mountains are surrounding Ephesus, and it sits down in the valley, and there's the great amphitheater where Paul went in there and he preached Jesus Christ, and he preached Jesus Christ crucified, and he did that without a speaker, without microphones, without all the technology that we have, and he did that in this natural setting among the people that hated God, and he preached the Word of God. Wow. This is pretty incredible to me. I hope it is to you. He says in verse 2, he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching. Now, we'll talk about a parable in just a second. It means a dark saying, a hidden saying, if you will. You who are born again this morning, you're going to get this parable. You who are lost, you will not get this parable until he reveals it to you. And my prayer today for you lost person is that today is the day of salvation. So as we look at this, he says, listen, behold, let me get your attention. I'm about to tell you something very important. There was a sower that went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. Now the wayside there is simply that foot traffic that is along the crops, along the field. I think about that movie, some of you may have seen it, with Russell Crowe called Gladiator. And I think about his home that's set up on the hill, and those wheat crops were all on his property. And as he walked down that wayside, he walked down the road that all the Roman soldiers went down, all of the garrison went down, all of the horses and chariots went down. It was beaten down. It was beaten down. It was because of the foot traffic. And on that foot traffic, no seed would take hold, right? Many of you in here got some good gardens. Brother Dwayne was telling me about his garden. Some of you in here are incredible horticulturists, okay? I've got a little old dinky garden, but at least it's growing, right? And you think about that row in between. You don't, when you're going down there pulling weeds and you're working your garden, you don't plant seed on the wayside. Because you know you're going to step on it, you're going to stop on it, the birds are going to get in there and take it apart. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. That place where the foot traffic is, that place where the foot traffic is, here's what's going to happen when the sower sows the seeds. Dr. Steve Lawson said he wondered how the seeds were thrown. How did he throw the seeds? I think that's a great question. When the seeds were sown, listen to what Jesus said. He said, the birds of the air came and they devoured it. They devoured it. Many of you in here that you grow gardens, you understand this language. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. For immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. This stony ground, they say in Israel, that there is a solid rock underneath this stony ground a couple inches down that no plow can even get through. And that rock is, when you hit it, nothing's going to grow, and when it grows, it's not going to have a root. Many of you know, like on your driveway, is it your house, that those wild roots that shoot up out of there, and you go pull it out, and that root's so weak because it's been, it just pulls right up. This is exactly what he's talking about here, this stony ground. Roots can't reach water, so therefore it dries up when the sun comes out. Then he says that there is a thorny soil. Verse 7, some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. This same word, thorns, is the same type of thorns that were used to make the crown of thorns that were placed on Jesus' head before the cross. Thorns. These thorns would grow up, and they were a tough thistle bearing weeds that grew up all around the plant and basically choked it out. Choked it out. And then you had the next group. Other seed fell on good ground and yielded what? A crop that sprang up, number one. Number two, it increased. And number three, it produced. And Jesus said it produced. This is remarkable. This is remarkable. We go back to the Old Testament and the tithe is what? The tithe is 10%. Jesus doesn't say 10% here. He says when the crop springs up, when the crop increases, when the crop produces, it doesn't produce 10%. The crop produces 30%. Some 60%. And wow, some 100-fold. That's unbelievable. It's exceptional. It's remarkable. And you say, well, Michael, I don't know what you're getting at yet. We're getting there. Just bear with me, okay? Let's work to the next verse there in verse 9. This is important. You a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today? Can I tell you something? James 2:19, he says, even the demons believe and they tremble. They tremble. Jesus said to them, he who has ears, let him hear. I'm going to be honest with you today. I'm so thankful for the Lord opening my ears to His gospel. I'm so thankful for Him opening my eyes to the doctrine of the Word of God. I'm so thankful for Him changing my heart of stone to a heart of flesh. I'm so thankful for Him saving me by His grace and nothing that I've done, but all because of who He is. And when you look at this today and you study this day, he who has ears, let him hear. You that are saved today, understand this. It's not foreign to you. You're not going to walk out of here and say, well, I don't even know what that preacher said today. You're going to say, I get it. I understand. Understand. Why parables? Verse 10. When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. But notice, back in verse 1, who all was there? A great multitude. Jesus didn't care about great multitudes. Jesus cared about his sheep. His sheep. I know that makes people mad, but I'm just going to be honest with you today. Great multitudes were there at the shoreline. They were there why? They wanted to be healed physically. They were there because they wanted demons cast out. But then there was this small little group of 12 and a couple with them, and they sat right here by him and they asked him about the parable. And what did he tell them? His word says, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. To you. Who's you? Those who believe. Those who believe. How do we believe? Well, it's a gift of God. And all of God's people said amen. So, we look here today and we see this. To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, that he was paving the way. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That kingdom of God is the reign of the Messiah, the reign of Christ. And aren't you thankful today that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God? That's where He's at. He intercedes for you and me. He's coming again. So as we look at that, to you, those who believe, it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But listen to this. But to those who are outside, those in the multitude, it is given to them, all things come in parables. A dark saying. It simply means a hidden saying. It simply means you that are mine, you're going to understand. Those that are not mine, you're not going to understand. Why? Because it says, to those who are outside, all things come in parable. And then he quoted the prophet Isaiah. From Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. And Jesus quotes this to them. This story, this parable is found in Matthew, it's found in Mark, it's found in Luke. It's found all throughout these Gospels, and this parable is detrimental to where you and I stand this morning. Okay? So Isaiah 6, 9 and 10 says this. He said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. Be healed. When people repeatedly refuse to respond to God's word, God gives them over to the hardness of their hearts. We are living in a Romans chapter 1 society today. You need to read Romans chapter 1 for your homework, and that is exactly what society that we're living in today. People have shut off the Word of God. Their hearts are hard. Their ears can't hear. Their eyes can't see. We don't walk by sight. The Bible says we walk by faith. We walk by faith. And Jesus told His disciples, guys, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. The world, they don't understand this. So let me break it down to you, He says. He didn't say that, but I did. Verse 13. He said to them, do you not understand this parable? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where you might get mad this morning. This is where I was an idiot as a young pastor and preached that the stony ground and the thorny ground were just as saved as the good ground. And that's not true to the Word. So let me correct myself today. Let's look at the first group this morning. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? How will you understand this? Well, he gets to verse 14. He says, the sower sows the word. So who's the sower? Well, the sower is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has called those of us to do what? In the Great Commission, we are to go and we are to tell people about the gospel of Him. All of us in here have been called to do that. But let me tell you about my sower this morning. My sower this morning is perfect. My sower does not change. My sower is the Lord Jesus Christ, who the book of Hebrews says is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's who my sower is. But what if people tried to do? They tried to pervert the sower. They have a false gospel that's being preached in so many churches today. That has watered down the Word of God. People want their ears tickled. They want their feet tickled. They want to be left church feeling good about themselves. I'm here to tell you this morning that we are sinners, that we are lost, and we are in need of a Savior. And the only one that can save our soul is the Lord Jesus Christ through our Heavenly Father God. So listen to me. the sower. Does that mean you got to come up with some dynamic church growth plan? No. Does that mean that you've got to come up with some dynamic institutions of the church so that the church continues to grow? No. I get so fed up with gimmicks. The author and finisher of our faith is not a program. The author and finisher of our faith is not a gimmick. The author and finisher of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when His glory is given to Him in pulpits around the world, when His glory is given to Him in services in America today, when His glory is given to Him in the local churches, then the local churches will thrive. But when there's bitterness and backbiting and gossiping and backstabbing and all these things that bring down the church, we see churches all around us do what? Close their doors and die. People say, has COVID affected New Hope? No. We've actually grown through this. Praise His name. Praise His name. There's been people say, well, you know, we've had to scale back and not have a Sunday night service, and we've dismissed our Wednesday night service. Listen to me, folks. The early church, they worship daily together. Daily. It's important that we as the body of Christ worship together and praise His name. Study His Word. And so here we go. The sower. They've tried to basically pervert Him. And our Savior's perfect. Our sower's perfect. Then the seed. What's the seed? Well, the seed in Luke chapter 8 verse 11 is very clearly told us that the seed is the Word of God. You Christians that are saved this morning, you knew that. The sower is the Lord, those that are called to go out and preach His name. And then the seed is what? The seed is the Word of God. And we know that the Word of God endureth forever. We know that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. We know that the Word of God does not what? It does not come back void. That means that when a preacher preaches, he shouldn't preach what's on the lectern. He shouldn't preach what's on the bishop being sent down to him to preach. When a preacher preaches, he should preach expositionally, verse by verse, the Word of God. That's what should be preached. So here we go. Somebody told me in the 9 a.m. service that I preached with a little bit of passion this morning. Well, this kind of stuff gets me fired up because we're dealing with your soul, which is eternal. It's eternal. And I think there's a lot of people that are misguided. They've been misguided. Let's look at the first group this morning, the wayside. Verse 15, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Sown in their hearts. So the seed's been thrown on the wayside. The heavenly footed, the heavenly traffic, it's been thrown by the wayside, and the word goes to the wayside. And when the word goes to the wayside, Satan comes in, an analogy for the birds back in the parable. And what does he do? He immediately takes it away from them. As we've been called to do what? We're all called to evangelize. We're all called to go out and proclaim what? The good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. We go and tell that story. How many times you've been rejected? I've been rejected a bunch of times. I've been laughed at, mocked at, because of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The world does not want to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Why will they not hear the good news of Jesus Christ? Because they're dead in their sin. They're dead. So here we go. We're still to go. We're still to evangelize. We're still to tell the story of Jesus. We're still told to sell that. And that seed is given. And Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. At our Gideon lunch, we had a gentleman that goes to the college campus as a Gideon to hand out Bibles, and he's cussed at. The Bibles are thrown down. They came over to our school and passed out Bibles one year, and I seen them tore up and put in the trash can, put in the commode, put in various different places. That's what the world thinks about the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I cherish the Word of God. And so, when you have this attitude, when you have these people that are going out and sharing the Word, the good Word of the Word of God, and we go and we share that with others, guess what? You're going to be criticized. You're going to be blasphemed. You are not going to be liked. You're not going to be liked. I'm a people pleaser. I like for people to like me. But as a Christian, when you go out into the world, guess what? People are going to hate you. But know this. He says, don't worry, they first hated me. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so I want you to think about that this morning. As we look at the wayside, those are the ones that you plant the seed, you go out there, you witness to them, you share the gospel with them, and it's what? It's like throwing pearls before the swine. They mock you. They laugh at you. They have nothing to do with the Word of God. I hope that's not you this morning. I hope that's not you this morning. The Lord calls you to repentance. He calls you to Him. There's the second soil this morning. There's no way. Thank you, Lord, for sanctifying me and maturing me in you, that I don't preach like a baby anymore, but I preach the truth. The stony ground. There's no way that somebody that's a stony ground person this morning can be saved. There's just no way. I can't believe I preach this. What a heretic. The stony ground says this. He says, these likewise, in verse 16, are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Now, I'm going to start stepping on some toes this morning. They hear it with gladness. That word means enthusiastic emotionalism. They're enthusiastic, they're emotional, and I have seen this being a youth pastor for 18 years. They'll get a big rock and roll band up there, and they'll hit the drums a couple of times, they'll hit the guitars, they'll bang the keyboards, they'll get as loud as they can, and then they'll keep the music going and say, all those that need to receive Christ, all you've got to do is step forward and come today. And I have sat at those conferences and sat at those conferences and sat at those conferences and watched under me being called as youth pastor, hundreds of kids go forward and quote-unquote give their life to Jesus and come back home from those conferences and be the exact same person they were before they went. The exact same person. They received it with gladness. Oh, I'm great. I'm fired up. I'm saved. But then I can go back and live like the world. No, you can't. That contradicts everything in the Word of God. Everything. There is no such thing as a carnal Christian. No. When you look in the Word of God, you're going to see something that is very clear. When He saves our souls, He saves us from the uttermost of sin, and what does He do? He creates us new. We become new creatures, and what? Old things do what? They pass away. How many of you are a new creature this morning? Praise His name. Praise His name for that. So the stony ground, they immediately receive it with gladness. But look at this. They have no root in themselves. No root. Jesus said in verse 16, they immediately receive it with gladness. In verse 17, they have no root in themselves. And so watch this. They so endure only for a time. All right, folks. Let's give the invitation. I'm not talking about right now. But let's give the invitation. All those that are weak and heavy laden, come to Him and He'll give you rest. And we give the invitation and people flood the aisles. And they come and take a preacher by the hand. They have the preacher pray for their salvation.
And watch what happens. That person will come up here, and I'm going to say this morning because we've had some get baptized, but I have seen this my whole life. Even when I was a little kid, not saved yet, I have seen this my whole life. People get up here and get baptized, and they'll get baptized, and they'll come to church for 3 or 4 Sundays, and then you will never see them again, and they will continue to live like the world. That's the truth. They are false conversions. False. They received it with gladness. They got happy for a little bit. And then it just went by the wayside. They didn't endure. They didn't endure. Why? Because they weren't saved to begin with. Look at what he says here. He says that afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake. Now this is important. Persecution or tribulation arises for the word's sake. Did you know people stop coming to church here because we preach verse by verse? Did you know people stop coming to church here because I've made some statements about the Word of God that has offended people? Did you know that when you stand for the Word of God that you're going to be persecuted? Did you know you're going to go through trials? Did you know when I say to people in the pulpit that homosexuality is wrong and it's a condemnation to God? Unto God, and He will bear His wrath upon that sin. He'll bear wrath on all sin. People get mad about those things. Do you know people leave over those things? You say, well, Michael, don't that hurt you? Don't you need to water it down a little bit? Absolutely not. You keep preaching the Word of God. And when you make people mad, this is where these people are going to come from. Because I'm going to show you here in just a second why they get mad over these things. These are the people that... You know, they heard it with gladness, and then when the word comes for the word's sake, tribulation, persecution's arising. Well, I can't believe that Michael Myers down there said that. I can't believe that they're preaching that down there. I can't believe that he spoke out against that right there. We need to be more tolerant. I can't believe that he said this about transgenderism. I can't believe he said this. Can't believe he said that. Hey, listen, we've had some people get up this morning and already leave because they got mad. I've had people on Sunday night sitting in the back row get up and walk out because they got mad. I've had people in services get mad over the preaching and teaching of the Word of God because they cannot stand the truth. We are called to preach the truth. Called to preach the truth. Man, I wish y'all would get more fired up. They only endure only for a time afterwards when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake. Listen to what Jesus said here. He says in verse 17, immediately they stumble. The word means to offend. They're offended. They're offended. He preached something I didn't like. That Sunday school teacher don't have a clue what they're talking about. You know people like that? Trust me, I get it all the time. Their theology's just way off. Their doctrine's just way off. This, I mean, all the time. And immediately they stumble. That Greek word means to offend. And here's what these superficial believers have done. When specific tribulations, persecutions, when it comes to the Word of God, happens in their life, when their faith is put to the test, they fall. Why? Because their faith is not in God. Their faith is in themselves. And when you put your faith in yourself, and you think it's because of you, I'm saved because I did it. When you think that, let me tell you something, folks. You be looking real quick for a fall. Because my Bible tells me that salvation belongs to the Lord. Belongs to the Lord. So, what about these superficial believers? Let me give you 3 things just real quick. The superficial believer will be offended by the true preaching and teaching of the Word of God. They'll be offended. They'll be offended. Why don't you go back to the good old days and just select a couple of verses and preach on them every Sunday morning? We need to hear more John 3:16. We need to hear more of those sermons every Sunday morning. Well, why don't we ever preach from John 6, verse 65? I don't know. I'm asking. But here we are. Why don't you go back and just, why don't you pray about what you need to preach on Sunday and just preach from the Word of God? But the Word of God, when it's preached expositionally, verse by verse, you can't take anything out of context. And when you can't take anything out of context, we can argue all day long over doctrine, but you can't argue over the context of the Word of God. You just can't. You can't. Here we are. The superficial believer will be offended. They'll get their feelings hurt and they'll walk out. Number two, the superficial believer will stumble. They'll stumble when persecution arises. I can't believe you go down there to that Baptist church. I can't believe, you know, I tried to have a wedding down there and they wouldn't let me have the wedding down there because we were going to serve alcohol in the fellowship hall. Can you believe that? I would never go back to that church again. Right? When are we going to stand for something, church? Amen? Well, I can't believe you go to that church down there. Don't you know what that guy preaches? Don't you know what that guy stands for? Well, let me tell you something, church. You and I are going to have to make a stand. And I believe that the end times are here. And the time that we need to make a stand is right now. And for me and my house, we're going to stand with the Lord. We'll stand with the Lord. Not only do they stumble, but the third thing that they do is they fall away. The superficial believer always falls away. What does that look like, Michael? Well, it's what I told you. They come down the aisle, they take the preacher by the hand, they say a little prayer. Next Sunday, they're baptized. Three more Sundays, they're in the church service, and you never see them again. On our church roll at New Hope Baptist Church, we have about 300 people. If we had 300 people here today, we'd have to build a new church. Are they all saved? That's up to God, right? But I can tell you what the Word says. The Word says we'll know them by their fruits. We'll know them by their fruits. Not only that, they'll fall away. They'll fall away. 2 Thessalonians, Paul says that in the end times, before the Antichrist comes into power, and I believe the Antichrist is on the horizon, he says there will be a great falling away from the church. It's called the great apostasy. And boy, are we seeing it. We are seeing it. There is a great apostasy among us that does not want to hear the Word preached. They don't want to hear the Word taught. They don't want to hear music sung that glorifies Him. What they want to do is to have their ears tickled and to be made to feel good. Joe Osteen will do that for you. Stay home and watch him. As a matter of fact, you can join that church just by signing up on the computer. You don't even have to be a part of the body of Christ. Totally contradicts what the Word of God says. Totally contradicts what the Word of God says. Stony ground. I hope and pray that's not you this morning. Then there's one I've really had to check myself on. You know when Paul says, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. I do this from time to time. And when I do with fear and trembling. Because sometimes I feel like I've been choked out by the thorns. Look at this. The next soil is this. He says there in verse 18, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the Word. But watch this in verse 19. The cares of this world. The Greek means it simply means the distractions of this age. The distractions that are out there. And how many of us are distracted? Amen? Some of you are on thorny ground right now. You want to know why? Because your belly serves you way more than your spirit serves you. If I go past 12 o'clock, people get mad over it. Do you know that? That's crazy. People are crying. I'm telling you, people. Listen, somebody told me a long time ago, when you deal with people, you deal with problems. Amen. Amen. Can't believe you go past 12 o'clock. Well, who are you here for? Are you here for you? You here for the Lord. Here for the Lord. Watch this. He says, the deceitfulness of riches, which are basically wants of money and materialism, and I hope you know all those things pass away. Do you know that this morning? Lloyd Sullivan told me a long time ago, he said he's never seen a U-Haul at a funeral. He's never seen a U-Haul pulled by a hearse. That's the truth. All those stuff that you have, all the money in your bank account, let me tell you something, folks. You and I could die today, and it's not going with you. It's staying here. Staying here. You can pass it on to your kids. You can do whatever else you want to with it, but I'm just going to tell you, it stays here. Our soul lives forever. Soul lives forever. The deceitfulness of riches, money, materialism, whatever it may be. And listen to what he says next there in verse 19. He says, the desires for other things. The desires for other things. How many of us have let our job become our God? I'm being honest. I let that for years. I've had people tell me, you're a fool from stepping down as principal. Don't you enjoy the prestige? Don't you want to work your way to superintendent? No! I just want to be a husband. I just want to be a dad. I just want to pastor a church. That's what I want to be. Because I'm going to tell you what. When God judges me, principal's going to be on the list, but it's not going to be before pastoring a church. It's not going to be before being a husband. It's not going to be before being a daddy. It's going to be way down on the totem pole. And so, when I'm called to do what I do, it's not because it hadn't been through constant prayer and constant in tune with the Lord. It's because this is what He's called me to do. And people, the world don't understand that. They're like, what? What? Your job can become your God. And it can choke you out. Choke you out. Let me tell you what else can become your God. Your family. We talked about that last week. Jesus talked about that when He answered them saying, who is my mother or my brothers? And He looked around in a circle at those who said about Him and He said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Wow. Whoever does the will of God. I've known people at this church. Little Johnny gets a hangnail on Sunday morning and the whole family stays home sick. I told you I was going to make you mad. I've had people tell me they wake up and they didn't have any coffee and they said they couldn't come to church angry. Are you kidding me? I don't know. Family. Family. I told you about that last week. Well, my daughter says this now, so, you know, she's college educated, Michael. And since she's college educated, you know what she's saying is the truth. I don't know where people's minds at sometimes. And my son, he's doing this now. And let me tell you, he's doing what the Lord wants him to do. Well, is he serving the Lord in a local church? Well, no, he don't have time for church. His job carries him all over the world. He don't have time for the Lord. You don't... Hey, guys, listen to me. You don't realize how many times I hear that come out of people's mouths. And it breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. Jobs, families, hobbies. Hey, can I tell you something this morning? Walmart's busier than we are. Hey, Brookshire's is way busier than we are. Yeah, McDonald's, they're way busier than we are. Watch this. Lake Fork, it's crowded this morning. The sun's peeking through the clouds. Lake Hawkins this morning, it's crowded this morning. It's peeking. Well, Michael, you can't judge them about their... I'm not. I'm just saying this. There's a lot of people that'd rather be doing that than serving the Lord. Amen, Miss Ann. That's right. And if that's the case, then here's what's happened. The joys of the world have choked out the Word of God. Choked them out. I have these people tell me all the time, well, my kids, they're more important, Michael. You just don't understand. They're going to get a softball scholarship, a baseball scholarship. That's why we play travel ball and we go and play all over the country on Sundays. Why? Well, because they're going to get a college scholarship. Well, don't you think Sundays should be reserved for the Lord and you come and worship in the Lord's house? The early church did what? They gathered together on the first day of the week to what? Praise the Lord and worship the Lord. Don't you think you should do that? No, no, we'll do that later on in life. Let me tell you something, folks. When you get out of church, it's near impossible to get back in church. Just is. Just is. All these different things. You remember the story of the rich young ruler? He was that way. Choked out by the thorns of the world. The world mattered to him way more than following Christ. What about you? You the wayside this morning. You the stony ground this morning. You the thorns this morning that are choking you out. Who are you? All those are false conversions. Michael, how can you say that? Well, the wayside does not produce fruit. The stony ground does not produce fruit. And the thorny ground does not produce fruit. The true believer, watch this. This is vital to doctrine this morning. The true believer will always produce fruit. Always. Always produce fruit. What are you talking about, Michael? Just bear with me. Look at verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Good ground. Aren't you thankful for your salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Man, I think we take it for granted. The ones sown on good ground. There's three Greek present participles here that happen and continue to happen. It's a continual thing. In the Baptist church, we believe in the doctrine of eternal security. Calvin calls it perseverance of the saints. That means this, that when you're in the hand of Jesus Christ, when you're in the hand of God, there's nothing that can take you out of His hand. Once saved, always saved. We believe that there's nothing that can separate you who are believers from the love of God. Well, Michael, how can you say that when you say that the wayside's not saved, that the thorny ground's not saved, that the rocky soil's not saved? Because I'm telling you, they weren't saved to begin with. They weren't saved to begin with. But the believer, his sheep, you can never be lost again. Never. Praise His name today for that. The good ground do three things. Number one, they hear the Word. As a matter of fact, they don't just hear the Word one time, they keep on hearing the Word. You who are saved this morning, even though you've heard this preached 1 million times, you know what you're doing this morning? You're still hearing the Word of God. When you love the Word of God because of what He has put in you, you will enjoy coming to what? To listen to the Word of God preached. There's some of you bored out of your mind this morning. And you say, it's because of you, Michael. You're a boring preacher. You're monotone. You don't ever get fired up. You don't ever say anything exciting. You're so boring. I just hate coming to church. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The problem's not the preacher. It may be. I don't know. The problem's not the preacher. The problem's not the church. The problem's you and your heart. That's the problem. And so when we look at this and we see this, you're going to hear the Word, and not only are you going to hear the Word, you're going to keep on hearing the Word, and you're going to have a love for the Word of God. Oh, Wednesday nights, I'm tired. I'd love to go home and sleep. But you know what? I enjoy coming to Brother Schaefer's class. Why? You know why? Because he teaches the Word of God. I enjoy going to Brother Curry's class because he teaches the Word of God. I enjoy going to listen to Brennan. I enjoy being around the church. I don't know about you. I told you last week, y'all are more family to me than some of my family members I got. Number two, not only are you going to hear the Word, but you're going to accept the Word. True believers will stand for the doctrine of the Word of God. They'll stand for it. They'll stand for it. True believers can hear out false doctrine. True believers can hear it out. True believers can know it. And true believers will have problems with it. They'll have problems with it. It's what happens. Not only will you hear it, but you'll accept it. And when the Word of God is preached and taught the way it's intended to be preached and taught, you will accept it with what? A glad heart. Glad heart. Will we disagree? Of course. It's okay to disagree. It's okay. But you who are true believers, you will accept the Word of God and you'll do it with a gladness in your heart. Not only will you hear it and accept it, but number three, you're going to bear fruit. Bottom line. And that Greek present participle simply means this, you will continue to bear fruit. Can I get a witness this morning? You cannot retire from being a Christian. You may can retire from your job. You may can retire from life. You may go down to Miami, Florida and get you a yacht and sail out on the Atlantic Ocean and have the time of your life, but you can't retire from being a Christian. You're going to find a local church to plug into. You're going to find a place to serve. You're going to find a place to glorify the Lord, not because of who you are, but because of who He is. You will always bear fruit. You always bear fruit. I'm not saying that this morning, so don't get mad at me. Stay true to the Word of God. Now He says something again extraordinary. He says some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. 10% was exceptional. 10% was exceptional. But we, because of who He is and what He has placed in us, there's going to be an exceptional crop that's going to spring up. It's going to increase and it's going to produce. You know these clowns that are prosperity preachers? Osteen, Creflo Dollar, these guys that are false preachers. They try to take these verses and say, this is talking about money. And you need to give this kind of money to your church. 30%, 60%. Some of you need to give 100%. How they have perverted the seed. They perverted it. It's not what it's talking about. He's not talking about your money this morning, so don't get worried about that. He says you're going to bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Examine yourselves. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When the fruit of the Spirit is given to you, it is not given to you because of who you are or because you've got this dynamic personality or you smile all the time or whatever that may be. It's given to you by Almighty God. It's plural. All of it's given to you. Do we have to work on it? Yeah. Does He sanctify us through the process? Yeah. But we all have to work on it. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Well, number one is love. If you're in here today with a hatred heart, you're not one of His. You got hate in your heart? You need to change that. And you can't change that. Only He can change that in you. Love is the agape love. It's a love that sacrifices everything else for Him. And it sacrifices everything else about me to the body of Christ. That's the kind of love that agape love is in the fruit of the Spirit. I don't get my feelings hurt when I don't get my way. I don't get mad when somebody says something that I don't agree with. Love. Joy. Joy is not happiness. Joy is a contentment that no matter how many trials and tribulations and storms that come in your life, joy never goes away. Only God can give that. He gives us peace. He gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. You say, Michael, I don't understand this peace. People were asking me a couple of weeks ago, you got a job yet? No. Anybody called you yet? No. Well, what's going to happen? I don't know. Was I getting a little worried? Yeah. But you know, all along I had a peace. God, You're going to put me where You need me. And He does that. And I want to shout out a blessing today from our Lord this morning. And you may say, well, you're getting a little bit too prosperity. But I just want to tell you the truth. 3 weeks ago, I had no job offers. In 1 week, I had 5 job offers. And that's not because of who I am. It's because of who God is. He takes care of His. He gives us love. He gives us joy. He gives us peace. He gives us long-suffering. Listen to me, church. Here's one we need to work on. He gives us kindness. If you hate this message this morning, you could at least say, you know, preacher, I'll give you do. You at least got up there and gave it to us the way you saw it. Instead of, I can't believe you preached about this. Kindness. Well, I do. I wish we had a little bit more kindness. Do you know it's okay to smile at people? Do you know it's okay to shake people's hand and hug people? I know if you're afraid of COVID and that kind, I get that. But you know it's okay to be kind. It's okay to be good. Goodness. We are in a portion of the world today that needs to see the light of Jesus Christ. And I don't know if they see that in us, church. I don't know. goodness. Then when we go into Brookshire's or go to the gas station or go to the restaurant, we got to smile for people. We talk to people. We interact with people. We treat them kindly. We treat them good. I don't know. Faithfulness. Fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Faithfulness to who? Faithfulness to God. You can't be faithful to God on your own. He gives you that fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness to God. Gentleness. Oh, how we need gentleness again. A gentle answer turns away a person of wrath. Restore your brothers and sisters in Christ who have fallen by the wayside. Restore them gently. 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 And last but not least, boy, do I need this. Self-control. I need to stop looking at Fox News on my phone in the morning and just go right to the Lord in prayer. Why do we do that? Why aren't we programmed that way? Because of our sinful desires, because of our lustly flesh, because of all the things that we do. And here's the thing, guys. When we are set this way, man, we're not putting that helmet of salvation on, are we? We're not putting that belt of truth on that we talked about in Sunday school. We're not doing the armor of God, but we're allowing ourselves to be attacked. But one thing's going to be for sure. If the seed's been sown on good soil, listen to me, brother and sister. You're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear fruit. Jonathan Edwards, one of the great preachers of all time, said God loves humble, broken-hearted sinners. Humble, broken-hearted sinners. Not people that received it with enthusiasm and emotionalism, and then when the going got tough, they just faded away. Nah. Not those people that when all the worldly things come up and they chase after the world instead of going after God. No. Our God loves humble, broken-hearted sinners. David prayed that in Psalm 51. Oh God, give me a clean heart. A clean heart. Last but not least, James says, God opposes the proud. He opposes the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord this morning. He calls on you to be saved, O sinner. If you're sitting here today on the wayside, on the stony ground, on the thorny ground, let me tell you, there's only one hope, and that hope's in Jesus Christ. You of us that have been saved and redeemed by our Redeemer, praise Him this morning. But let me ask you this, oh believer. What kind of fruit are you producing? 30? 60? There's some of you in here producing 100. And praise God for you. But more importantly, praise God for His saving grace. Heavenly Father, we love You. Lord, thank You for Your Word. This seed that is sown in our hearts is vital to our life. And Lord, we just want to praise You for this. Lord, I want to thank You for saving my soul. A wretch, a dirty old sinner, saved by Your amazing grace. And Lord, we just praise You for this today. Lord, in my life, continue to create in me and clean me up and make me the man that You would have me to be, Lord. Lord, I pray that in my life that the production of fruit is not because of my own efforts, but Lord, it's because of Your workmanship. Lord, I pray that You can see results of 30-fold, of 60-fold, 100-fold, whatever that may look like to You in Your holy eyes. Lord, I pray that Your will be done in my life. Lord, I pray for our other believers in here today. Help us to be more like You. We can't do it on our own. We call upon You to help us, to show us, to guide us, to be our author and finisher of faith. Lord, in the fruits of the Spirit, Lord, I pray that they are seen abundantly in our lives. And Lord, I pray that You get the glory from it, not us. Lord, for the ones that may not have an ear today, Lord, I pray that those who have an ear, let them hear. The ones that are on the wayside this morning, the ones that are in the rocky soil this morning, the ones that are grown up around thorns this morning, Lord, I pray that they repent. They repent and call upon you. And Lord, we're so thankful today that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Lord, we thank you for that today. Lord, just be with us. Guide our church. And Lord, may our church be a lighthouse for you. And you alone get the glory and you alone get the praise. For we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you. I know you want me to get up here and say what I got to say, shut up and sit down. But sometimes you got a lot to say. And I appreciate your patience, your long-suffering. Okay? I appreciate your hearts and I appreciate your dedication to the Word of God. This evening, like I say, leadership meeting, 4 o'clock. If you're a chair or an elected official here in the church, I'd love to meet with you at 4 about some things. And then we got choir practice. Then we've got Sunday night service at 6 o'clock. We're going to be on the Lady Folly tonight in Proverbs chapter 9 and verses 13 through 18. So I hope you'll come out and study the Word of God with us in Proverbs. And then be praying about this week, Wednesday night Bible study. And then also our church directory. Be sure that you're signed up for that so we can get your pretty picture in that church directory so everybody will know who you are. And then don't forget next Sunday. We're really looking forward to our memorial service. It's going to be a blessing. So be here to celebrate Memorial Day with us next Sunday. Let's stand. Brother John, Miss Alicia,